don't know how that happened.
I go to work today. So, hurry, I'm getting to work.
Standing out the door, I ate me some breakfast and made me another snack breakfast and that. So, felt like I was running normal.
Get out the door even close to being on time. Like right now, I'm behind.
I hate to be rushed in the morning. I like to take my time. I'd rather get up early and take my time. If I'm rushed, I just feel like my day is always rushed in.
See that? That's why I wonder how I'd stay. I try to get to work as quick as I can, but at the end of the day, I won't actually get in trouble for not being there. So I'll take my time and poke on down the interstate like I always do.
All them people that are in a hurry pass me by, and I just ease on down and enjoy the ride.
Yeah. Yesterday, I told him that in California, diesel fuel is $7 a gallon.
I've seen that one yet.
And especially in Europe, is that they're, well, it's supposed to be here as well, but we're running out of diesel fuel, basically. Don't really understand, because Russia was not a major. We didn't import a ton of stuff from Russia. I really don't know. It doesn't add up for that one, but that's what I was reading yesterday, that in the U.S. it's the same way. Europe was a major exporter or importer of Russian oil, and they're struggling for diesel, but in the States it's supposed to be bad too, but I don't know what.
That diesel in them Russian tanks.
If only there was some way we could have been more supportive of our own infrastructure, and that would have been nice.
The previous president would say you need to bring it back home, and that you farmed so much out, and now you look at the problem you got. But I saw where the California union workers went on strike at a refinery. And then I think 5 of them walked off, or 500 of them walked off, and that. But they were saying it wasn't going to affect production. If you can lose 500 people and it don't affect production, you probably have too many people, don't you think?
Yeah, if you can afford to lose that many people and it not bother anything, then yeah, you are definitely employing too many people.
Country's struggling and everybody wants to pull this stuff. Well, we'll go on strike and that. They just make it the problem worse and worse.
Yeah, it's definitely moving from one crisis to the next one all the time. The whole Ukraine thing just kind of hovers in the air, it's not going away. And I know it already affected our German plans, but our time's coming. We're already changing production strategy due to that.
Bernie, should make you rethink all the darn electronics that you got on a car that doesn't make it run any better or get any better gas mileage than the older ones did back, They just had a couple of wires on them.
And I think it makes companies become more self-sufficient, I guess, where they're doing, they do a lot of their own stuff. We still got stuff coming online from previous years, where we had that big, one of the stamping manufacturers caught fire, and we had to send people there, so now they've got their own stamping plant that's coming online. Should be there, people already training on that. It's crazy. The money to invest just to make sure we don't have the same issues again.
Making it just-in-time philosophy, screwed everybody up, because we don't want to keep too much inventory because, you have to pay taxes on it, which is BS. But, is that just-in-time, and now when you have a crisis like this, you're screwed.
We're big on not using just in time because, when you come on board and they're teaching you about different types of waste, and of course, inventory was a type of waste, and they didn't want to keep much on hand, and it definitely bit us.
Crossing Wade Hampton, six lanes and a turn lane, and he's 40 feet from the crosswalk. You'd have thought he could have walked down to the crosswalk. He was standing in the middle of the road, and it just was like, you know, just a little 2 foot wide concrete thing, and the car comes zooming by in the turn lane, probably never even saw him.
That'd be it. You see people do it all the time. They don't think about it. If you're walking in the dark, you're wearing everything that's real dark colors, like black and blues. People can't half see you anyway.
Yeah, it's like way too late.
Fortunately. Good weekend.
I'm going to get up Saturday morning early and ride up to, just south of Raleigh to my sister-in-law's. My mother-in-law lives up there, too. And visit with them and probably come back on Monday.
And Rutherford's and myself for Boy Scout camp this weekend.
That's over towards Asheville, isn't it? KN4 GFW.
It's not quite that far, but yeah, it's on the way almost. So the thing is, it's not a long trip because I won't get off work 5:30 Friday. So, but that's good. You're going to stay all through the weekend?
Probably come back Monday afternoon. Hang on a minute, I'm getting in my bad spot. I know it's that billboard. It's got to be that billboard sign.
Yeah, we might take care of that. Interfering with your ham radio. KO4CEF.
I knew they just put it online.
Surprising, I mean, something that, I mean, it's basically a big giant screen, right?
It's a huge one, too. And they, like I said, they just put it up about the time, you know, I was having issues, and I never really noticed it, but I bet that's what it is. You know, they're probably sending in a signal and everything to, you know, what to do and that, and it just is causing issues, because right when I get beside of it, that's when it starts acting up.
Tells me, I mean, shoot, even my TV at home will throw out spurious emissions, and I got to keep ferrite beads on it to keep it from affecting my radio.
It only does it when you're on the side of the screen that has the picture. If you're on the back side, it ain't doing it.
HKX Mobile. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Patrick.
LED lights, and LED lights are known the best with radios, so I would assume the same thing, Ken.
Going by a big truck.
LED lights are known to interfere with radios, so I would assume the same thing about that sign.
If that's the problem.
Put up a huge LED light in the kitchen. I hope it doesn't mess up anything. Into the sideband net last night, so I guess I'm okay. Yeah, well, I just been sitting here copying the mail. I've been up since, well, I've actually been awake since about 2:20. I got up about 4:10.
One of the 15-second spurts, too. You can decode it by ear.
Use my eyeballs.
As I was watching the YouTuber, I think it's Temporarily Offline is what his channel's called or something like that, but anyway, and they were doing PSK 31 a few nights ago, doing Ham Nuggets, whatever their stream, they do a session where it's called Ham Nuggets, and they were doing PSK 31, and the viewers were getting on with them live, doing PSK 31 with them. It was really neat. It got me started back on PSK 31.
Before my time.
Conversational digital mode.
I get a smart aleck comment from somebody on that one.
Let you slide, Dave.
For a kindler, gentler group there, because like it in some of these groups, boy, we get back and forth.
About FDA, because I'll jump on there every once in a while and do it.
It is. Some people say it isn't.
HW, yeah, I'm only set up for sideband right now. And I see that the storm disconnected my ladder line from my coax, so I guess I'll be out there fixing it.
Mr. Did y'all get anything? Because I know they had the tornado warning up towards Brevard last night.
Heavy rain and a lot of wind and lightning. It tore my driveway up, so I'm going to have to fix it this weekend.
Down there at the deer camp. Was that another contact?
They were way down in the noise. I couldn't pull them out.
J4HYC.
J4HYC, I believe it was.
Did anybody hear if there was a tornado touch down in 6 miles? Did anybody hear any of that?
Hear that. I imagine it'll be on the news this morning if it did. KO4HX, but I'm not sure.
About 30 or 40 fire trucks parked in front of my house, and I was just wondering if anybody heard on the TV what they said yet.
I didn't hear of anything. I was listening to the Greenville Skywarn, and there were several reports of trees down and everything else in different areas.
I'll get back together. I do appreciate it.
Clouds, but I think they wait until the sun gets up for the weather station to be able to tell them if it was actually a tornado.
My wife, we were sitting there last night, her phone starts going off for weather alert. So I jumped on the Greenville Skywarn and I heard Chad. He was trying to decide if he needed to take cover down at deer camp, trying to get a report, but it looked like, sounded like most of it was, I don't know, it was over towards the Pickens area, moving northeast, I guess. And I don't know, it sounded like it got somewhat bad in areas, but I never heard for sure. They were just, I think it was just the potential for rotation.
Tornado warning out. So I know several people mentioned it on the net last night. So that's the only thing I heard, and it was coming from Pickens, 6 miles up through Brevard, so, but I never heard any more after that.
Yeah, during the day when it was storming pretty good outside, I heard the radio go off with the warning and everything, and it was a monthly test. I'm like, really? You had to do it in the middle of a storm?
Be late for my 6 o'clock, but that'll be all right. But I'm gonna start walking on in, so Y'all have a good one. Be safe out there this morning. 7-3 to you, and hope I get to holler at you this evening whenever I get off work. KO4CEF, and I'll be clear on your pipe.
Have a good day. KO4HKX.
73 in, Drew. Enjoy that meeting. KN4TFW.
Through KB4CBA.
Quit talking at the same time.
I'm just getting ready to make this turn off of 25 on the 290.
What are you getting on the rough road now?
If you're on the rough road, is your bump finder working?
Raised up right now, that way the state can have their own problems.
To have a Olds Forenza, it had a real stiff suspension, and man, you felt every little bump in the road.
Man, I don't know what you're talking about, man. This truck wobbles all the way down the road.
The air before, the back of an ambulance, trying to figure out what was wrong, going wrong with something back there while somebody was driving it down the road. That wasn't no fun either.
Done that too. I know what you mean. That's no fun bouncing around back here.
And I've been a patient too, so the ride in the gurney wasn't much better.
Experienced that one, so I'll have to take your word for it. But I know riding in the back of them, period, isn't no fun. They ride rough.
Drove, we had McCoy Miller up in Elkhart, Indiana, fabricate a couple for us back in the 90s, and I drove one of them back. And that was a long, it was a two-day drive, and that was a long drive. I flew up there and drove back.
That wouldn't be no fun. The trucks ride rough as all get out. They overweight for what they're supposed to be on those chassis.
I'm on like F-350s, and most of them, well, the two we had were the cab models, not the van cab, but the a regular truck cab. And at least if you needed to pull the engine out, it was a little bit easier. I had to pull one out of a van one time, a diesel, and I tell you, that was fun.
And once, for Ford and GM, ain't neither one of them no fun. But when I was working at the Ford place here in Brevard, they were buying new ambulances. Finally convinced them not to go with F-350 chassis and step up to 450s so that it would handle the weight. And it has worked out much better for them since they done that.
Yeah, we had this, I'm not sure what size truck this was. It must have been a 350, but it was a rescue vehicle. It wasn't a, it had like, you know, toolboxes on the side and that kind of thing. And they called it Rescue One. And that thing, it went through brakes, front brakes like crazy. And we were trying to, you know, do some things to help, you know, help with that. And I remember I worked on it. And a day or two later, it got towed back in for something different. And on the way in, they just put it on a hook and a cable. And that was it. And this was a big truck. And they lost it right there at McPherson Park. And it went down the hill and hit a tree. And it totaled it. That's the best thing that ever happened to that thing.
Never a happier day for you, huh?
I mean, it was told that I went, oh, man, that's so sad. But I don't know. I imagine the wrecker guy lost his job because that definitely was not the way to tow that thing.
come on in here now.
To my construction zone here and paying attention to what's happening, because you got a lot of, you know, a lot of vehicles out here ain't used to what's going to happen. So I'm just trying to play it by ear here.
Careful. Chandler, come on in here. We heard you.
Patrick, good to
see
you this morning. Heading back to work.
You got Ken and Dave here also.
Just a minute, I gotta get the car. I'd be on the road.
What fix they had down there at that construction site so far?
Any, but I'm sure there is. And then I see this morning, I guess, with all the bad weather yesterday, all the, you know, flashing arrows that are solar powered are really, really dim. I think they're running out of power. It's the last exit before they ship everything to the other side. It's only supposed to be like this till Christmas of next year.
Here in Brevard, and so they can build their new roundabouts and all that, and it has caused complete chaos. There have been so many wrecks right there, it ain't even funny.
You folks around here don't know what to do with a roundabout.
The four-lane roundabouts, the two-lane inside the roundabout, ain't nobody gonna know what to do with that thing. And I'll just go around it. I'll go to Hendersonville before I go to Brevard now.
One or two of those on per day, and it's really funny to watch people. Well, it's not funny, but it is. And they don't have a clue. And I'm surprised that there's not wrecks there every 10, 15 minutes.
If I don't see anybody going through the roundabout, I just go right through it and where I'm supposed to go.
Double there with somebody.
Chandler. Yeah, that one on Verde, you gotta make a left. You gotta be in the left lane when you enter the roundabout, but it's before you get 90 degrees, you gotta be over in the right lane.
Fun. they did one on I think it's called Richardson Street or Road. It goes down beside Bradshaw Mazda there off of Lawrence, and they put one down there, and it's about 200 or 300 yards off of Lawrence, and it goes into a real nice neighborhood, so they just wanted to slow everybody down. And so this lady, they just put it there, and it had a big mound of dirt on it and a curb, and she went down there in a nice Audi, looked like it was brand new, and she didn't see it. It was 5 o'clock, sun was in her eyes, and she drove right up on top of that thing, tore that thing all to pieces.
Just don't see how they benefit anything. They work great for low volume areas where you don't have high traffic, but I just don't see how they benefit in the high traffic areas.
A lot of confusion. I think the aim is to slow everybody down, but you know, and I guess you know, help guide people to where they need to go. But like, you know, like I said, people don't know how to use them, so you almost need a refresher course in driving. You know, here's how you do a roundabout. And while I'm on the subject, I think everybody should, when they buy a new car, I think everybody should be, or the salesman should demonstrate ABS brakes for passengers, and then make a buyer parents and then make them drive the car or let them drive the car and do the same thing. Because you can actually steer a car with ABS, and, you know, my wife's actually avoided an accident because of ABS. And I think a lot of people, when they feel that vibration, they let up off the brake pedal. It scares them.
Into the parking lot, so I'm going to have to say 73. Hope everybody has an awesome day, and look forward to talking to you again. KN4 TFW.
And have a good day. KO4 HKX.
73 Ken. KO4 WWC.
Ken, KB4 CPA.
Yep, yep.
Hey, Chandler.
That y'all talking about ABS brakes and stuff. I was taught to drive by a truck driver, and I was always told if I have to really hit my brakes, tap them. Don't slam them, tap them. Over.
Yeah, that way you don't slam them on, because trucks don't have analog brakes, but with vehicles with analog brakes, you can hold steady pressure and drive through a lot of this stuff, so it's a little different.
Yeah, ABS, it pulsates 100 times or more a second.
I think my car has ABS on it. I mean, at night, I don't know when they started putting ABS on cars.
Vehicles started back in the early 90s with ABS, some form of it.
It's a 2001, so I may have it.
2001, you got ABS.
I'm in, Chandler.
Can you repeat that?
What kind of vehicle are you driving?
The one Chrysler C-Dream sedan. 6.7 V6 automatic.
ABS on that.
Right now, it's not legal.
Legal. You just put the pedal in the metal, dude, and the thing goes 55.
I don't feel like getting pulled over this morning.
When you get on a road, you can do that. I had a Sebring around that year, and I put put a used transmission in it. I had a whine and it went out, and then that one had a whine and it went out, and I put a third one in it and sold it. And I'm done with that.
Because the main huge problem with the seed rings, especially the 3.7 V6s, is the fact that the oil will sludge very easily, and that you have a coolant that leaks into the crankcase.
You need to get rid of that thing.
All I got right now. I've just been trying to make sure I maintain it well. That's all I can do. So far, I ain't done it too bad.
It's getting in the oil. That's not good.
And the only thing is, I don't know how to fix that. If it starts happening, they say it starts to start happening around 50,000 miles. And right now, I currently got 59,070 miles. So you can imagine how scared I am right now with that.
Have to clear out of here. I'm arriving at my destination. So, Dave, Chandler, y'all have a good day. If I don't talk to you again. And this is KO4 HKX, and I'll be clear. 73.
73, Patrick.
Have a good one, Patrick. Sell a lot of tools. Chandler, you can pull the oil cap off your car and just about new foam looking stuff in the on the top of your head there. They'll show you. You know, you got a blown head gasket.
I'll look at that, but right now the vehicle's just getting to where I need to go, so I gotta be thankful for that. To be honest with you, I'd much rather have me a truck. You can do a lot more with a truck than you can do the point. Over.
I'm thinking about trading in my Mustang for a 4Runner. As much as it pains me, I wish I could keep my Mustang, and I could, I guess, but we don't have any place to park three vehicles.
I can't blame you. The truck, I'm going to be getting a truck, I believe, here soon. The truck I'm getting, you can swap out the four cylinder and put a 5.0 Mustang engine in it.
So what year truck you talking about?
1986 Mazda V2000.
Work on those. Well, it would probably hold a small block V8. Not sure about the transmission and the differential though.
I'll be clearly on the side listening.